Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello, welcome to the show, everyone. Already had some NCAA action just wrap up. Loyola Chicago goes down to Oregon State. And as I said on the show earlier today, can't be surprised about that result. Oregon State played what I thought they would do. They tried to muck it up. And Loyola Chicago wants to play that kind of style too. So when you slow it down and it becomes just who can hit shots, Loyola Chicago just could not hit shots today. They were shooting poorly from range. They were shooting under 25% for most stretches of the game. And that was pretty much the deciding factor. Loyola Chicago could not get their offense off, and Oregon State punished them with the dry spells they had on offense. And, you know, end of the day, that got them the W. So, obviously, we got Baylor, Villanova coming up, but the point of this show is to go over UFC 260 on pay-per-view tonight, and we only have one title match, unfortunately. We were supposed to have another title match, hopefully, but unfortunately, we lost the Alexander Volkanovski-Brian Ortega fight before, so that wasn't going to be part of the card. So now it's just the heavyweight title matchup between Stipe Miocic fighting Francis Ngannou again. So yeah, we have a rematch again in the heavyweight division. Ngannou, just an absolute beast of a man. Just if you watch a superhero film, if he actually wins the title and gets popular notice in mainstream media, that guy's going to be in superhero films without question, in my opinion. As long as he can act a lick, he will be in films at some point in his lifetime, based off of his body type and size. I think it goes without question. But, we're not here to talk about movies. We're here to talk about the actual fight game. And realistically, this matchup comes down to, once again, can Ngannou get his hands on Miocic? And, Vegas actually thinks Miocic is the underdog here. Ngannou is the -130 favorite, despite the fact that he lost the first matchup. It's Stipe Miocic is the heavyweight champion of the world for UFC. The champ is the underdog in a 5-round fight. Everyone is banking on Francis Ngannou, and as UFC commentator Joe Rogan calls it, the death touch that Ngannou has, that he can knock out anyone. And, it's just one of those deals where I don't necessarily buy it that we're going to get Ngannou taking out Miocic. I think Miocic, Stipe, gets very underrated in terms of his striking, and the biggest edge Miocic has over Ngannou, and it's what he used in the first fight, is being able to get this fight to the ground. If Miocic gets Ngannou to the ground, he's going to be able to control him. And to me, I haven't seen anything in Ngannou's game that tells me Ngannou's going to be able to stop a takedown. I think this is a fight that Miocic knows what he needs to do, and it's just about the execution. Now, everyone keeps harping on, well, what if Ngannou has, now that he's gotten his confidence back, after hitting rock bottom after the Derek Lewis snooze fest, and he's gone on his winning streak and dusting guys. I mean, the Rozenstruik fight where Ngannou lays out Rozenstruik within 20 seconds because Rozenstruik just goes in guns ablaze and leaves his chin up and gets torched. yeah, it's a highlight reel knockout, but that doesn't mean anything in a title fight. You know, he's got to be able to touch up Miocic, and everyone keeps saying one punch can end the fight. Yeah, technically it could, but have we seen Stipe get rocked in a fight? Yeah, we've seen him get hurt in fights. He's been stunned by Ngannou, and it didn't matter. Like, I think Ngannou's got to be able to put together a combination to put down Miocic. I don't think it's going to be a one-shot knockout deal, and everyone keeps banking on one shot's going to get it done. I just don't see it. So here's the deal. You know, I'm betting on Miocic if we're talking about it from a gambling perspective. You know, a plus 130 on a heavyweight. It's in some lines I've seen it up to 130. You're probably going to get like plus 115 for Miocic, but depending on if you're shopping for lines, I've seen it get as high as plus 130. I'm taking Miocic if you're giving me those odds. And if you ask me if I'm going to bet on Ngannou, the only way I'm betting on Ngannou is by knockout. Ngannou's not going to win it on points. He's not going to be able to wrestle Miocic. He's got to be able to knock out Stipe. The inside the distance finish line on this is minus 435. I'm not betting on it to finish inside the distance. I'm betting on Ngannou being able to win this inside the distance. And, you could bet at minus 120. But to me, I just don't see it happening. I think Miocic gets the win. And I think you just take the champ here and win it on points. Now, from a DFS perspective, I think this fight is one where you could play both fighters. Here's the thing with Miocic. As I said, he's going to wrestle and try to control Ngannou. With the new scoring format on Yahoo, I think it's viable in five rounds that Miocic can control Ngannou for 3.5 rounds, maybe 4 rounds on the ground. I think it's very possible that he can wrestle him. So to me, this fight really comes down to, what do you believe is more likely to happen? That Ngannou can dust Miocic, or that Miocic grinds out a victory? And I think grinding out a victory is far, far more likely for Stipe than an Ngannou knockout victory. I just don't see how folks are getting caught up with this being a Ngannou's night to win the belt. I really look at this as Miocic fights to lose. So that's where I'm landing in the main event. As we go down the card, we got a co-main event. Again, this card got knocked down a bit because of some of the cancellations. Not having Volkanovski. I look at it. It's now Vicente Luque facing off against former welterweight champ Tyron Woodley. Woodley has been done for a while now. Woodley has been... He's always played a defensive style and just relied upon exploding out of bad situations, whether it's backing up in a corner and lulling a guy into a false sense of security and then pouncing on him. I just think Tyron's time has kind of passed, and now, you know, it's just a case of, you know, he's collected a paycheck and he's just not doing nearly as much work as he needs to get W's. So, do I like Luque to win? Yes. Do I think Luque is going to do anything from a DFS perspective? Absolutely not. I think this is going to be a low volume fight, and Luque wins on decision, but it just, you know, there's just no finish. So there's nothing here. There's not going to be a whole lot of wrestling. Woodley should wrestle Luque to the ground and grind on him, but, you know, like I said, Woodley has just not been putting in the work to execute on some of these plays where he should have an advantage. So to me, you know, I kind of look at this as a case where, you know, again, Woodley should have avenues of victory. He's just not going to take advantage of them. And Luque should win, but it's just an unappealing play from a DFS perspective. Next up, it's Sugar Sean O'Malley. The hype train was derailed courtesy of just brutal leg kicks. And O'Malley has shown in his brief UFC run thus far, his legs are compromised. He's been compromised with leg kicks twice now, where he has been physically unable to leave the cage under his own power because his legs are completely carved up. Oh, I forgot to give the odds on the Luque Woodley fight. Luque is minus 250, Woodley plus 210, and inside the distance finish is plus 110. Like I said, I would not touch that inside the distance. I think that goes to the decision and points to it's Luque. Meanwhile, Sean O'Malley, Sugar Sean, is a minus 330 favorite. You know, an inside the distance finish is minus 195. Almeida, plus 250 dog. And this is a fight where we should expect to see a finish. Either O'Malley uses his jiu-jitsu and gets Almeida down, or pieces him up standing, or Almeida leg kicks the crap out of O'Malley and takes him out. Like I said, O'Malley's legs have been compromised twice inside the octagon to the point where he is physically unable to leave under his own power. Depends on what Almeida does, but I mean, if his corner is worth a lick and he's willing to listen to his corner, you leg kick the crap out of O'Malley and call it a day. Don't waste time trying to do a striking battle with your fists, because O'Malley is, his hand speed is very high for the division. I think this is a clear case of style matchup where you have to go after his clear disadvantage with his legs and not get into a boxing match with O'Malley. So O'Malley is a 9,200 pick on DraftKings. I don't like it, mainly because it's relying on a spectacular finish from O'Malley, and I think there's a lot of high risk of an upset. And at 9,200, like for DraftKings, and I mean FanDuel as well, but you know, if you're, I mean, he's $23 on FanDuel. You know, he's even more expensive than Luque and Ngannou and Miocic. I think O'Malley has far higher odds of losing than all those other fighters. And the upside, yeah, there's upside, but man, it comes with significant downside of him getting finished inside the distance and not scoring enough points. Because again, I think a good leg kick takes him out of the fight completely. The thing is, he's been taken out by accumulation of leg kicks. He hasn't really faced like an Anderson Silva type of just straight on shin right on your lower leg kick that can take you out. And that's where I am more hesitant on the folks riding the O'Malley bandwagon than anything else, because to me, he hasn't gone up against a striking expert that's really great with leg kicks, and he's still been taken out by leg kicks. I have my doubts. So to me, this is a pass fight for me. And on DraftKings, I'll have some shares of Almeida, but 9,200, it's just too high. It's just too high of a price tag. I can't do it. Next up, Miranda Maverick against a top 10 opponent in Jillian Robertson. You know, this is an exhibition for Miranda Maverick, a highly rated prospect coming up in the UFC Contender Series. You know, it's just a matter of Maverick's striking background. Is she going to be able to hit Robertson enough? And can Robertson somehow get this fight to the ground and grind out a 3-round victory? I don't necessarily see it, but I'm kind of avoiding this fight because, to me, for Maverick to pay off as a betting favorite. She's -167, which isn't bad, but you know, there is risk of her getting taken to the ground and this becoming a more of a plotting type of fight. From a DraftKings perspective, 8,800. Yeah, there's some interest there. If you're looking to deviate off of the title fight, she could get an early stoppage. Robertson, 7,400 on DraftKings. Basically, the only way you're picking her is if you're banking on an upset and maybe she can get enough ground control, because she's definitely not going to be able to do a finish inside the distance. That's just not going to happen. You know, a lot of people are on Maverick. Betting wise, yeah, I could lean towards betting on Maverick. It's just not something about going crazy over. All right, next up, Common Worthy facing Jamie Mullarkey. Here's the bottom line on this fight. This fight, someone's getting finished. I would be taking the -165 inside the distance finish without question and call it a day. Common Worthy is the -130 favorite. Mullarkey, even money, depending on the book, or +110. But, you know, this should be a fight where Mullarkey, again, trying to get this to the mat. Worthy, the expert striker. This is just one of those cases where, you know, striker versus grappler, who's going to get the better of the exchanges? I would look towards Worthy getting the win here, but it would not shock me if Mullarkey was able to get Worthy to the ground and find a way of finishing the fight, because Worthy has shown that he's not been very good on his back. I think he's vulnerable for an upset. Next up, Alonzo Menenfield, who is gassed out repeatedly. I can't believe I'm actually going to be betting on Alonzo Menenfield again. I told myself I wasn't going to do this again, because the last time Menenfield fought, he fought a tin can that I swear, you know, kept plotting. Menenfield gassed himself out, couldn't finish the fight, and then allowed himself to get dominated. And I told myself I would not bet on Menenfield again, but the UFC keeps giving him fights where, you know, he should be able to take advantage of. And you know, this his original opponent got canceled. He's got a replacement opponent taking this fight on short notice. Chirant, you know, from what I've seen, is literally another tin can. Like, Menenfield, if he doesn't win this fight, he should get cut. And I said this last time we had a pay-per-view that featured Alonzo Menenfield. So, I sound like a broken record saying this, but if this guy cannot finish these tin cans, why is he in the UFC? They've already invested quite a bit in him, so they were trying to get some value out of it. But man, I can't believe I'm actually betting on him again. And I already feel like I'm going to be sick to my stomach, because I already feel like I know how this story is going to end, but the price tag on DraftKings is only 8,100. You know, he should be able to finish inside the first round. But if he doesn't finish inside the first round, I am betting so heavily on the other guy that I haven't even seen good film on this guy, but I already know what Menenfield is. He is so muscular, he will gas out completely if he doesn't end this fight in the first round. So this is a live betting situation. That this fight should end inside a distance -245. But man, if Menenfield doesn't get it done inside that first round, I am betting on the other guy, because Menenfield will be completely done. And, you know, I think that Menenfield, you know, again, if he can't finish inside the first round, he is such a lame duck that I'm going to bet heavily on Chirant to finish the fight if it goes past the first round. That's all I can say about that. Next up, Abubakar Nurmagomedov, whom I will just refer to as Habib's brother. So Habib's brother is facing Jared Gooden. Gooden you know, here's how you play. You fight in the Nurmagomedov brothers. Keep it standing. If you go to the ground, you are dead. I don't care how good your jiu-jitsu is. Habib and his, basically, this entire Russian bloodline are so good on the ground that if you end up on your back, they will take your back, they will take your arm, they will take your leg, and they will find ways of twisting it in ways that a human body should not bend. There is no getting around it. I'm tired of people trying to tell me that this guy can defend on the ground against Nurmagomedov. All these guys coming out of Habib's camp have shown how superior they are to everyone else on the ground with their wrestling. I don't care if they can't keep it standing. They have zero shot. I will be playing Nurmagomedov in GBPs. He's 9,000 on DraftKings, $20 on FanDuel. I am playing him in DFS formats because they get takedowns. They get advanced positioning. They rack up all these sorts of points on DraftKings. A three-round fight, you know, he could get four or five takedowns if he doesn't end it in the first round outright. So, again, if they get it to the ground and you put yourself in a bad position, they will finish the fight on the ground. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So, Gooden's got to figure out a way of staying alive. 7,200 on DraftKings, $10 on FanDuel, plus 195 underdog. I don't see it happening. I think Habib's brother takes care of business, and we go from there. Couple other lower round fights. I'm not gonna have a ton of exposure to Oleksiuk and Bukakis. Oleksiuk is a -167 favorite. Inside the distance finish is expected to be a -170. Couple of heavyweights. If I can't get an idea of which heavyweight can finish whom within the first round, I avoid a heavyweight fight. So I'm not gonna have much exposure to it. And then even from a betting perspective, I really don't have any interest in this fight. Same goes for this, welterweight fight, between Morales and Young. Morales is the favorite, 8,700 on DraftKings. I think this fight goes to a decision. Not interested. -180 favor for Morales over Shane Young. Don't really have much interest on, Young. He's 7,500 on DraftKings and $10 on FanDuel. More interest on FanDuel, but, I just don't see much win equity on this to finish inside the distance, which is what you're looking for with a live dog. I think it probably goes to a decision, and, that's the end of that. And then the final fight, Marc-Andre Barrientos versus Abu Azatar. Not as familiar with these fighters. They're both evenly priced on DraftKings. Barrientos a slight favorite at -124, 8,200 on DraftKings, Azatar 8,000 on DraftKings, and an even money dog. At the middleweight division, this could finish inside the distance or it could go to a decision. I don't really have a pick either way, so this is definitely a pass fight for me, and not that interested from a DFS perspective either. So here's where it comes down to for DraftKings, in my opinion. Depends on where you want to go with the O'Malley fight. Because if you're fading O'Malley, then you're probably going to be picking up on the Ngannou Miocic fight. I am going to be heavy on Menenfield Chirant, just because, again, if Menenfield can't get that first round stoppage, Menefield's going to lose to Chirant. I'm very convinced on that from a betting and a DFS perspective. So, going to have exposure to that fight. I'm definitely taking Habib's brother. So, I'm going to be all over in terms of that pick for DraftKings and betting purposes. Don't really see much reason to deviate from it. But, should be an interesting card. Everyone is picking against Miocic, and I think it's a mistake. I really do think the champion wins another matchup against Ngannou and proves people wrong. So should be a good bit of fighting tonight. So I'll leave it there, but have a good one, everyone, and stay tuned because I still have to start breaking down the baseball season. So that will be coming up very soon. We got baseball coming up next week, so we'll get into it as we start off next show. So that's all for now, and have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.